It is time now for The Other Side, and for that we are joined by Ashley Campbell, Orange County Conservative, joining us here in the studio to talk this time about an issue on which we're all in agreement, right? I think for the most part.
Yeah,
hopefully.
For the most part.
Yeah. So Board of County Commissioners is meeting tonight, 7 o'clock, Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road, and this is the same agenda pretty much from last week that got kicked back because of the snow, so they're doing it all again tonight, or they're doing it all tonight for the first time. And one of the items on the agenda is something that other local governments have already considered and voted on, Orange County Commissioners doing this tonight, which is a vote on a resolution calling on North Carolina to declare itself a no-torture state. And that is in response to a report that just got released by the North Carolina Commission of Inquiry on Torture, CIT, called Torture Flights, North Carolina's Role in the CIA Rendition and Torture Program. So based on that report, local governments are speaking out against what happened, especially between 2001 and 2004, and passing resolutions calling on the state to be transparent about it and take steps to make sure it never happens again. So that's the summary. You're the one who read the report before I did. So
yes, I think that you definitely summarized that well. And I would encourage all of your listeners to try to find the resolution on the Orange County Board of Commissioners agenda for the meeting tonight. I think essentially what the county commissioners will be calling for is to urge the governor and the state attorney general to hold this private contractor, Aero Contractors, that worked for the CIA and perhaps still does. Certainly in the early 2000s, they were involved with flying detainees to other countries for torture at a public airport in Johnston County, and also in Kinston. So there's the Johnston County Airport, and then the airport in Kinston is owned by the state.
And that's the concern here, right? That they're calling on the state of North Carolina to address its own responsibility, and it's the responsibility of the state in conjunction with the support that the state gave to this private contractor era, right? Providing not just the airport space and the permission to go in and out of the state on these particular flights, but also additional security at the airports and things like that.
Right. Yes, exactly. The state gave at least one grant to the airport so the Aero could fortify its facility. There's been about 119 people who were taken on these what's called extraordinary rendition flights to other countries and were tortured there. There was one prisoner who was pregnant, and there was one person who was as young as 16.
16, yeah.
Yes. And there's 49 prisoners that the CIT has gathered narratives for. 13 are still in detention at Guantanamo Bay, and some have been there for as long as 16 years. And these are people that have not been charged with anything. There's been no due process. It's just, you know, if I sound a little bit bewildered, I am still bewildered by this. I'm still trying to find out about it, because this is a story that I don't think a whole lot of people know about. I mean, I do recall in 2014 when the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, there was a big story when they released an executive summary that, as you said, you know, the federal government has been pretty non-responsive to calls to stop torture. President Obama did sign an executive order in 2009 that officially ended this program called rendition, detention, and interrogation. However,
the operative word there is officially, right?
The program ended, but these torture still takes place. So they did get a little, local activists or statewide activists did get a little bit of traction from the North Carolina General Assembly. There are two bills in around 2007 and 2008 that were stalled in committee that would have addressed this. And there were calls from state legislatures to, at the time, Attorney General Roy Cooper, for him to take action, but there's nothing done there at the time. And local officials in Johnson County have essentially told the activists that Aero contractors have been there for 20 years, and they're a good company
All honorable men.
And government officials at all levels of government have been really recalcitrant when it comes to releasing documents. So this report from CIT, which is very lengthy, is still just sort of the tip of the iceberg as far as what has gone on. But it's a complement to the Senate's report that came, the executive summary came out in 2014, heavily redacted, but it's specifically about North Carolina's involvement. And there's certainly lots of details that, you know, I won't go into on air that people can read in this report that are just, you know, horrifying.
Which says a great deal in and of itself, right? And like some of the details in this report are things that we're uncomfortable even talking about. And there were people who experienced it at the hands of companies that were being supported by the state.
Exactly. And so whether or not the CIT can get the officials at the state level to get the SBI to conduct an investigation of Aero contractors, I don't know. Even though President Obama, for example, issued a stern rebuke of this program when he ended it in 2009, he also said, well, looking backwards at past conduct of government officials is not going to be really helpful. And so we may face that kind of mentality here as well. And, you know, Richard Burr, head of the Intelligence Committee in the Senate, has said that there's not going to be any further, you know, fact-finding or holding people accountable after this report came out in 2014, which is still completely classified. And it's also disturbing that copies of it have been mistakenly shredded and have gone missing. President Obama fortunately saved a copy in his presidential library, but it's still no one can access it. No one can read it. But people are trying. I mean, this committee has done clearly a lot of work. One concern that I have, I mean, like I said at the beginning, I agree with, you know, 99% of the work that this committee's done. And one thing that I just gave me pause when I was reading through their report is that they seem to believe or want it investigated, at least, that Americans have a high tolerance for torture because of deeply ingrained racism toward Muslims. I don't know exactly what feeds into a high tolerance for torture or what their definition of high tolerance even means. I'm not sure what compared to what. I don't know. But I would say it's just more the post 9/11 shock is probably what feeds more into that. It has more to do with they expect intelligence agencies to keep us safe and do whatever needs to be done.
There's also the concentric circles idea of caring about other people, right? We care the most about ourselves and then the people who are closest to us and then the people who are a little bit further away, like close immediate friends and family and then extended friends and family and people in our communities and people in our state. And as the circle widens, the fellow feeling gets a little bit less. So when it's someone that we don't know and never will know and only hear about on the TV as an enemy or a threat, that's going to make us less interested in caring about their particular experiences. Right. Whereas if it happens to someone who lives next door to us, we're going to care about it more. If it happens to like a close friend or family member, we're going to care about it more.
I mean, I would put more, you know, credence in that. It's easy to ignore. Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing. It's just it feels easy to ignore.
And that's not to say, that's not to distinguish that from racism, because I don't think it's an either or thing. I think racism is a form of that. And any kind of like version of xenophobia, right? Yeah. Where you feel more closely about you versus the other, is a form of that.
Right. But I, as this report says, you know, it says little effort has been made to understand the extent racism may play into it. So, you know, maybe if they do have a chance to investigate it, you know, I would hopefully find that, you know, racism or Islamophobia doesn't play such a huge role, but rather just if there is a high tolerance for torture in the U.S. population, that it's just because we want to be safe. And, you know, perhaps there's just too much trust in state agencies to provide security for us, because there has been not much transparency about these programs that are going on. I mean, the CIA said back in 2014, I mean, even President George W. Bush wasn't briefed on exactly what was going on until 2006, which was pretty much when things were ending. I mean, even the president didn't know. I mean, this is just, the CIA was not, it didn't feel like it was accountable to the president, to Congress, to anyone. So, you know, I applaud these folks for trying to hold government agencies accountable, you know, and to hopefully encourage just, you know, the citizenry to see what torture programs, you know, really involved, like, so they aren't able to ignore them. I think that's the most important thing to take away. And you know, like you're saying with these concentric circles, as you get farther away, the abuses against others are easier to ignore. We can't ignore that this is our own government committing these abuses. And so this is where, like, the conservative me comes out. I think, well, what's stopping these agencies from doing the same thing here, you know, to American citizens? I guess it's sort of what you would call a slippery slope argument. But, you know, I think that if we say that torture and things like this are acceptable in certain scenarios against other people, when we're at war, except we're not really at war, because I don't think Congress has declared war since World War II.
Not since 41, yeah. Which is great. 77 years of peace. Isn't that great?
Yeah. You know, and not coincidentally, we've had these intelligence agencies since World War II, I think. So anyway, but it makes any sort of erosion of, or desensitizing, I guess, toward torture, or becoming more accepting of torture, would make it more possible for it to happen here or to American citizens. And so I don't think that we should, as Americans, be willing to tolerate that. It's a violation of, you know, an individual's rights. We have no right to do this. And I also think that that's one of the things that concerns me just a little bit with this, the North Carolina Commission of Inquiry on Torture and other organizations that are involved and support it. It's because there's not really any recognition of an individual's rights. Again, I'm playing catch up, and maybe there are other people who are more deeply involved with this that would disagree. I'm just going what's, you know, written down in the report. There's a lot of emphasis on law, however, and the rights of people as they are protected by law, but there's nothing to reassert that individuals have these rights, whether the law says that they do or not. Other than that, you know, I think that this is something that everyone in the state of North Carolina should be paying attention to. And, you know, when we get into 2019, we'll see if Governor Cooper and Attorney General Josh Stein will, you know, read this report and try to act on it.
NCTortureReport.org is the website to get the full report that we're talking about here from the State Commission of Inquiry on Torture. And again, Orange County Commissioners meeting tonight, 7 o'clock, Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road, and they'll vote on that resolution on declaring North Carolina a no-torture state. Ashley Campbell, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.